For most men, the first attempt at monogamy is marriage.
You're already setting yourself up for failure.
If you've been doing what you've been doing, and the first time you're gonna stop trying to not do that and try to put all of that energy now in one person, it's gonna be some problems. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be some problems. And we can put that on God.
Black excellence, the term that many use to describe an individual achievement or talent. However, Black excellence is way more than just success, way more than an award or trophy. It's about the collective resilience, creativity, and the culture of Black people. I'm your host, Brian McIntosh, and I'm here with some fellas who exemplify excellence on a daily. First up, we have one of the brightest young stars in Hollywood. He's an actor, artist, dancer, and he's truly a triple threat. And he's also nominated this year for his first NAACP Image Award for his lead role in The Shy as Our Boy Emmett, the one and only Jacob Lattimore. Absolutely, man. We appreciate you being Black, man. You're having a great year. Next up, we got one of the true OGs of hip-hop. Whether it's his groundbreaking music or his thought-provoking activism, he's always staying ahead of the curve. As an actor, rapper, and Grammy-nominated producer, he leads the culture daily. And he's also the lead actor on The Family Business New Orleans, David Banner.
Oh, man. Thank you. Honored to be here.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you. Now, last but not least, our last guest is sure to take us to church today. For nearly 30 years, he's had the Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 16 and 7, living rent-free in our heads. He's a father, husband, and without a doubt, the biggest gospel artist of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to welcome the one and only, the Kirk Franklin. Absolutely, man. We appreciate you being here. This means a lot.
I mean, it's an honor to be here with these young kings.
Absolutely. So on For the Fellas, we talk about everything, you know, love, legacy, you name it. But Kirk, I want to come to you because I feel like with Black excellence, with this theme that we're talking about today, people feel like Black excellence has to be directly tied to success. You've been very adamant in the past saying how with a certain level of success comes a certain level of trauma. I want you to kind of dive deep into that and explain why you feel that way. And guys, I get you to chime in as well.
Any level of success also has a certain gradient of trauma to it. Mm-hmm. It's because there's a cost to it. Mm-hmm. There is a emotional, spiritual, physiological cost of the sacrifice that it takes to get it from the dirt. Yeah. That when people say that they come from the mud, you have no idea that as you begin to peel that off, mm-hmm. what the layer of that person really is. It's because the most greatest are always most in the room, the most insecure. It's because you're always having to live your life vulnerable. You know, think about it. You know, it takes so much to be able to have a dream and to have the boldness and the wherewithal to even step out there and to even see if the dream comes into something that is really tangible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that level of sacrifice and work and vulnerability, not only do you suffer from that and have to sacrifice for that, those connected to your wife, your children, yeah. your relatives, because you're gone all the time, you're sleeping. You know, we're dreamers. Yeah. Dreams wake us up in the middle of the night. Dreams make you get up from the dinner table and say, baby, give me a minute, I gotta put this on my phone. Yeah. You know, dreams are disruptive. Mm. Yeah. That's why dreamers are disruptive. And so if you're not willing to have that type of investment and the willingness to be able to be on that type of cross every day, then you really are always gonna be having that position of the of wishing, and anything that you're not willing to die for is not something that you'll ever see live.
That's a bar right there.
How do I follow up that? Just growing and coming from a city like Milwaukee, where I'm from, I got a chance to while I'm filming in Chicago, I drive back up every now and then just to ride through those neighborhoods and where I grew up and. Man, just came a long way. You know what I mean? So it's definitely those sacrifices you have to make. And the friendship groups I had during a certain time, I outgrew them, you know what I mean? Because of the mindsets, you know what I mean? And nobody really understands what it takes to say, hey, I can't go out to the club tonight. I gotta work on these lines, or I gotta rehearse these songs, or, you know, and some people could take that personally, you know, as you're growing and they're like, oh, you feel like you being better than me. I'm like, no, I'm really just trying to lock in on what I'm doing. So it's no one really talks about that isolation process a bit, you know what I mean? Especially filming a show like The Shy, and we film in 6 to 8 months out the year, and depending on how heavy the content is, I am in that apartment, you know, 90% of the time, you know, and then I'm on set that 10% and I'm just locking in and I'm knocking those scenes out. But no one sees that time I'm just in the gym and in the house on set and to a restaurant and, you know, making sure I'm back home at a certain time. So I may not be able to kick it like the rest of my peers do. So it's those sacrifices are real, you know, and it gets lonely sometimes, you know, and that's when, you know, you gotta pray and lock in and just be thankful that this is what I asked for, you know, and be acceptance of the new circles that you're coming across as you grow, because the people you're supposed to meet will be at those destinations. You'll meet those like-minded individuals, you know, your castmates and your colleagues. You become your friends because they follow in their dreams as well, and they understand what that takes. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
Nah, absolutely.
It's good.
For sure, man. You know, saying, like, this is what I asked for, that hit home, because it's like, you know, you're right. Like, we aspire to hit this level of excellence. With that comes the sacrifices that you guys are making. Yeah. So, David, I'm curious, like, how are you carrying, like, you know, the trauma that goes within the success of excellence?
I want to say something first. Kirk, I was going to wait until we were off camera, but I think it's paramount that us as men, that we salute each other. Mm-hmm. Brother, especially you coming from the gospel realm. Yeah. You've opened yourself up and literally got naked in front of people and shown them some of the things and some of the mistakes that you made in the past. That's not only hard to do as a man, that's not only hard to do as a celebrity, but to do that in the gospel world, knowing that how our people have a tendency to be so judgmental. I remember I did a song with Mary Mary, man, and the things that people said about me, bro, and I was like, if I was a man who wasn't strong in my spiritual convictions, you'd have made me never want to go in anybody's church ever.
Wow.
So for you as a man to show these children that I make mistakes, I'm still making mistakes, but you can make it through, you can continue. Bro, that means so much.
Wow.
You know, that's more gangster than anything that any of us can rap about. But to answer your question directly, man, one of the craziest things that people don't understand, especially when you come from the streets, is that everybody knows you. Everybody has a plan for you. Mm. Whether it's somebody on the streets, whether it's the accountant, whether it's the lawyer, they're ready for you. You know, if you think about the music industry as a whole, the executives get older, and it's the same ones over and over again, but they keep us getting younger and younger and younger, and it's not necessarily a talent thing. I think we're all equally as talent, but they want to go and get people who know less so they have a longer amount of time to take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. So one of the hardest things is not knowing the true intent of people who come up to you each and every day. And people are coming, you know, over and over again all the time, especially when you have a heart. Yes. I think it's a little bit easier for people who don't have a heart in the first place. You know what I'm saying? But those of us who are empaths and who are open and really trying to make the world a better place, we actually care, you know? And so for me, it's just really finding a common ground with God.
Yeah.
And one of the things I want to tell all of you all is being okay with being alone.
Yep.
Because that's when you hear God's voice anyway. That's when you really get a chance to see the texture of your personality, of your spirit, and of your soul. Yeah. I've seen some things with myself that I wasn't necessarily happy with. But that alone time gave me an opportunity to become a better man. So when I step out in the world, I'm stronger in my convictions and who
that.
I am.
I need to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, bro, I ain't got no problem. We switch numbers and we talk. Yeah. But like, really talk for real.
Yeah.
You know, Ali Sadiq, the comedian, he taught me something that was so powerful. I met him and I was like, bro, let's exchange numbers. And he was like, Banner, I'm not like the rest of them. If you're not gonna call me, don't say that to me. Like, my word is my bond. And that meant a lot to me because I realized that I'm not like the rest of them. So I'm gonna be alone. I stand for something. Morals mean something to me. My people mean something to me, so I can't hang with everybody.
Yeah.
And I found myself lowering who I was so I can be comfortable with other people. But what I realize, if I'm comfortable with God, I'm comfortable anywhere I go.
Dave, I don't know your age, but I would love to know, is that something that we're all talking about in this space that at times has been traumatic for me? This creative space of whether it is the whether it's the platform or the season of creation and trying to create a study, this process of isolation, being lonely, being by yourself. I have found that in my journey a lot. Sometimes it is traumatizing. It's because when you're writing, you're by yourself. When you're trying to create, you're by yourself. Yeah. When you're trying to go through your spiritual process, you're by yourself. And you look up and sometimes you spend a lot of time by yourself. Mm-hmm. How have y'all been able to manage? Because I've seen it to be traumatic for me at times. Have you found it to be traumatic for you sometimes in your life? Just that isolation that comes along with this. Sometimes you don't want it, but it is the reality of what it is.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to love it. You know, at first it was like, because I'm a family man. I come from a big family, and it was becoming weird to create them boundaries to say, hey, nobody comes to my house but me. You know what I mean? It just is. I'll meet family or other people at certain spots. We can designate a place to meet, but my home became a sacred place for me. You know, and I started to enjoy it, and then as I grew spiritually and grew in my spirit, like, it was, I started to really feel who I was inviting over, and like, nah, I can't have this, because everything around me is, it matters, you know. If somebody's fighting or somebody's doing something they ain't supposed to be doing, it's all gonna come back to me. And I've managed to keep my name clean. I've managed to stay out of trouble, and sometimes that trouble could just be a circle, you know, don't even know until something pop off. You know what I mean? So it's important that who I'm dating, when I'm out and about, I stop going to clubs. I don't even take club dates no more. Like, I just was like, I don't feel like I'm growing here. I'm drinking, I'm partying with women. I don't even, you know what I mean? It became a space for me. I just felt like I was becoming stagnant. So I'm like, I only like to do stuff like this or speak to the youth or speak to my peers. And I just knew that was a sacrifice I needed to make, not only in my personal life, but my career, and just like, which helped my personal life, because I can actually sit here, we working, but it's also like, man, I can actually come here and it's therapeutic. And I can go back home and be like, man, that was dope today. You know what I'm saying? So that's a big thing for me. So it started off traumatic, but I think anything on the other side of trauma is bliss, that's good. Blessing.
That's good.
You know?
That's good.
I think I need this time. I need this time to be single and alone, enjoy my home, enjoy the fruits of my labor. The thing, I've been working since I was 8 years old. I'm 28.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I've always had that natural heart to share my experience, share my trips, share the way I travel, share the way I buy things and I move. But everybody, everybody can't come. You know what I mean? You can't bring everybody with you. It's a real saying. So I think it's important to analyze that and have that discernment to say, hey, this time I actually really just need to focus on me.
Yeah.
And so I can build that family one day. And so I can't have the right, I'm listening to God to choose the right wife, choose the, you know what I mean? Those things. So, and at a long time, it's something we skip. Mm. It's something we skip all the time, because culture is pushing marriage, culture is pushing relationships, but no one's preaching singleness and spending time with God.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's important for me to, it's important for me to marinate in that.
That's good.
Yeah. You know?
Well, I've always been a little bit strange anyway.
Mostly, what do you mean by that?
Like, I was listening to hip-hop in Mississippi before they was playing it on the radio.
Mm.
Like, I was in Mississippi listening to Mantronix, Destasonic. Like, my friends would always be like, "That he'll a little off, he'll come back." You know what I'm saying? I've always been by myself. But what happened was, is I got sick about 4 or 5 years ago. People didn't even notice. I got really, really sick. They could never find out what, they still haven't found out what was wrong with me, right? And I looked up and realized I didn't have children and I didn't have a lot of sustainable relationships. And it bothered me only because I thought that I wanted what other people wanted. But what I had before was real peace. And it's something that, you know, it took me a while to realize, like, if you truly, people say that they believe in God, but if you really believe in God, why do you fear? Mm. Like, if you really, 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 like, if God literally put you on his, her, or its lap, and you knew it, you didn't even need that faith component.
Because that's what really is the problem, is in our loneliness, sometimes our faith, and we don't know it and we don't connect it to that, is actually bouncing back and forth because we start wanting some of the things of the world.
That's good.
But spiritually, think how powerful it is when we don't really need nobody but ourselves. The other thing that I want to say, because I think we should give these kids some things to help them instead of just talking about the trauma, I just told you this. Yeah. If loneliness is a problem, then schedule your friends like you schedule a business meeting. Mm-hmm. Schedule time with your mother the same way you schedule going to see that lawyer. Yep. I told him, bro, if you got your friend, put him in the books.
Yep.
Put him in your phone the same way you prioritize other things. When I started prioritizing my mental health, when I started saying no and being okay with it, some of that loneliness went away because I put time into relationships. Mm-hmm. See, we get lonely, but we don't want to do the work to get people to come to you. So I had to open up. I had to go out a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? I had to actually find out, because this is something I wanted to talk about later in the show, but I think it fits here, is part of the problem and reason why we get angry at people, the reason why we hate on people, the reason why we're lonely, is because we really don't know what we want. Mm-hmm. How can God bless you with anything if you don't even know what you want? So if you're lonely, then you have to be okay with giving up some of that time that you may spend in the studio, or you may spend with those lines, if it means that much to you.
Right.
Invest in it, and it'll come back to you.
That's right.
You know, I went and found my college friends. My mother told me that. My friend Andre in D.C., she was like, that boy's he's a good dude, and you're not going to find many people like him for the rest of your life.
First of all, I think it's dope that we just heard David Banner talk about his college friends. We got a rapper from Mississippi that just dropped down on y'all to let y'all know that he's had a higher education. Please continue.
Oh, if that's the case, then we're not going up. And we're popping off.
Understood that and then get along. Please continue, my brother.
Absolutely.
Kirk, man, I need you to go with me somewhere, bro. You made me feel good.
But I want to circle back, Kirk, to what you were saying earlier when we were talking about the kids and the sacrifices. How do you balance the guilt that comes with the excellence, right? We're pursuing our careers. All of you guys are ultra successful. I have a 7-year-old man. I'm back and forth between North Carolina and Atlanta. One of my biggest issues is the guilt, the time I'm missing. You know, I know things are going well for me and it's going to provide for my family, but it's time that's going to be missed out when it comes to my child, when it comes to my mother, when it comes to all my family members. How do you guys balance the guilt when it comes to chasing what you're chasing?
One thing that I think that is a great sense of peace that I learned when I was 26 years old is because I didn't have a mom and daddy. So, you know, I was adopted by a 64-year-old woman when I was 4. And she was a widow. She had a fourth grade education. So I never had men in my life to pour into me. It wasn't until I became older and I started seeking out, like David said, I started seeking out men that had the ingredients of what I aspired to be.
Yep.
And so when I first got married, and because when I got married, we were already a blended family. I had a son when I was 18, Tammy, the beautiful young lady I married. She had a daughter when she was 19. So I adopted her daughter when we got married. And so we got married with kids. And I started traveling automatically. Well, my career was already being blessed. You know, by the time I got married, you know, God was already blessing my career and everything. And I had that conviction and had that guilt. And one of the greatest words that I've ever received that I could pass on to y'all is that God is not only orchestrating your life, he's orchestrating the lives of those around you. And he's not only your father, he's their father too. So when God calls you to something, he's also put the seed of calling in them as well. So if God has wired you to have a very abnormal career that has a very abnormal spaces, he's wired them as well. That seed is in them as well. As long as you are doing God's work, God will take care of your family. Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I have 4 children. I mean, Tammy and I had 2 kids together after we got married. 4 kids. I had 4 kids. Mm-hmm. And I have seen. Now, it does not mean that my kids or my wife or my, you know, or other people related to me don't have any level of trauma with me being gone, missing some games, not being able to be at everything. No, I'm not going to say that at all, because I've seen certain things that have been traumatic for my kids. Like, you know, like I have one son who has always had a problem with every time that we go somewhere to the mall or whatever. And if I'm stopped for a picture, it's like you see it on his face, like, oh, you know, and he's really had a hard time, to the point that I got another phone. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had two phones, one for the plug, and anyway. I got a second phone to show him that when I'm with him, I'm a lead a business phone. And I saw his spirit brighten up. It's like, okay, this is the phone just for you and mom and him.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you know? Yeah. So, you know, you just take that. But when you are called to something and you have the heart to want to make God great, God is going to equip everybody around you with that same seed. Because he's not only your daddy, he's their daddy too.
Mm. That's real. That's real. Jacob and David, I get you to chime in on that. How are you guys kind of balancing the guilt when it comes with the excellence?
I don't know. I got a different perspective as I'm growing. It's just as I'm growing, I don't view it as guilt no more. It's just like David said, it's when God pushing you on your journey, you can't be afraid to take that alone time, because it's going to lead to abundance. It's going to lead to the things you want. You know what I mean? And it's going to lead you to the people you're supposed to be around, the friendships you're supposed to have, the relationships you're supposed to have. And sometimes that process and that season, it can feel lonely, but you know what's to come, because God has always shown me that he's always going to bless me. He's always pushing me towards the right thing. For me, and I used to wear it, and I started therapy last year, and thank you. Yeah, I started therapy
like
last year.
Like being in therapy, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
And just, you know, I got a very spiritual grandfather, always giving me a word, and just always making me feel good. You know, like making me feel like I'm in the right place. Like you're not in the wrong place. You know, and that's got that guilt off me. You know, and I always just try to encourage some of my friends to lock in on what God is telling them, you know, because everybody's journey is different. Yeah. You know, everybody went like, what you doing? Where you going, Jake? I'm like, hey, where I'm going, hey, it's just for me. But where you going is just for you. I can't come where you going. You know what I mean? So, and then once we all lock in, it's all going to make sense. Yeah. We all can link up, and now we fighting for the bill at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Now we can take that trip together. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, bro, let's go to Cabo, man. You know, let's take a guy's trip. Let's go and have fun and bask in the fruits of our labor. So it's just that season of you got to just keep trusting God. I think that's the biggest thing I could say right now.
For sure. I received that, because 2 years ago I was kind of at a standstill. I was struggling with work here at BET. My boss right there, Brittany Taylor, she had just came on. And she transitioned with me. She said, look, I believe in you. We're going to make this transition. So I was living in North Carolina, trying to kind of figure out my way. I was being a full-time dad, but still trying to pursue my career. And things just weren't going the way I thought it was. So, you know, BET Awards, year before last, I made the decision. I was like, yo, I'm going to put my house on the market. I'm going to sell my house and move to Atlanta and buy a house down here. And I'm going to really be all in and try to really go get this shit. Sold my house. My house was on the market for like a month. Sold it. Went and found a house immediately down here. I actually closed on the house while we were shooting episode 2. Down here of last season. And, you know, the rest is history. We've been out here a year now, season 2. We started with a pilot. But to your point, I received that. It's like, yo, it's going to be some guilt that comes with that. It's going to be some sacrifices made. But it's like, when you understand and realize that it's a bigger purpose and you got something that you're chasing, it's rolling the dice and believing on yourself. When I moved down here, there was no guarantee that this show was going to get greenlit for a second season. There was no guarantee things were going to go the way it was going. Mm-hmm. But I believed in myself. I believed in Brett. I believed in the people here. And I went and rolled the dice. So I received that, man. For real. Like, I needed to hear that, because I think sometimes you question yourself and it's like, am I making the right decision? And you worry about how it's going to affect everybody around you. Because my son, he did kind of struggle. I noticed his attitude started changing when I was, you know, I'd be gone for a week and then I'm coming back. But now, you know, he's made the honor roll twice. You know, he's much better. He loves coming to Atlanta, so he's in a better space.
Yeah.
But I was worried about that. And it's just, it always ends up working out the way it's supposed to.
And he tell us, do not worry. He tell us. Yeah. It's in the text. It's in the text, bro.
Dave, yes. No, go down. No, please. First of all, I commend you for having the heart of a father for your son. I want to commend you for that, because it all starts. See, God can use anybody if he got their heart. All it takes is a good heart. You ain't got to be perfect. Just got to have a good heart. But what I love about your generation, and I'm hearing, and I'm hearing even the freedom today, because again, I am the uncle OG at, here on the couch. They can't sit all the way back on the couch, so that's a whole nother story for my therapist. But I go to therapy for my own trauma. Is that what I love about y'all? It's the freedom that I hear in y'all's voice. Remember, I came from a generation that a lot of the guilt is also the subtext of religion. See, religion rules without relationship leads to rebellion, and it's birthed out of religion. Because see, religion doesn't build in your relationship. Religion just lays before you the rules. And so this is wrong, this is wrong, do this, do that. And so when you are not like the freedom that you have about, you know, that I don't feel guilt, I don't feel these things. A lot of times when you are raised in these religious spaces, it can be birthed out of guilt. You know, like in my generation, one of the biggest, and Dave, you may have heard this coming from the South, coming you both from South, is that, you know, there was a time that even church evangelism was, come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. Am I lying, King?
That's what I was about to say.
Hold on, King. That's a hell of a way to start off a relationship. Marry me because I'm pregnant. That's a horrible, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not being built on love. It's like fear, you know? And so, like, nobody should get married just because, you know, like, there may not be legitimate relationships, but there's always legitimate children. So that child is going to be blessed whether y'all get married or not. You know what I'm saying? You don't get married feeling like this is the only way we're going to honor God. Like, God ain't going to hate you if you don't get married.
I asked my dad, I was like, Dad, are you happy? He was like, no, not really. He said, but the light's on. You're fed. Your mama not screaming and hollering. He said, I'm at peace. So I started learning that as far as the guilt, I go to my therapist. I sit down, talk on the couch.
Man in therapy. You know, you have three black men.
And a lot of the stuff that we learned, and we have to admit this, a lot of the stuff, especially black people, that's disconnected from their history, from their true spirituality, what we naturally were as human beings on this earth, we're still trying to relearn. And some of the stuff that we learn is lies, and they're wrong. That's why I was telling you, I'm so proud of you saying some of the stuff that you're saying, bro. It's bold, and it's breaking all of that muck that we have on us. Most of that trauma was passed down from our parents and from older people who didn't know better. They gave us the best that they possibly could have, but that don't mean that it's right. That doesn't mean that it's right.
Okay, so you went to college, and did you also hear that he's a rapper who was raised in a house with mom and dad in the house? I just want to I'm not going to let some stuff slide. And then, just to highlight, bro, do you realize that you have your guest today, all three black men of different ages? And we all are in, right now, consistent therapy. I think that that is something that is a powerful nugget to just take a time out and just let it breathe, that we've all been beneficiaries of stepping out of our comfort zone and opening up that vulnerability, because black men going to therapy is still an area of taboo. It's still a great level of vulnerability, especially when you come from faith-based spaces, because, you know, you're programmed to think you can pray everything away. And so to be able to celebrate that, I commend you because I'm older than you. I commend you for doing that. I commend you for doing that because I'm older than you. I celebrate and I'm so proud to listen to two men who have their hand and their pulse on the culture and the next generation, also be able to say that I'm still a work in progress, and I'm a doctor that can't do surgery on myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something I just want to highlight and celebrate. I don't know if you've started that journey. Nah, if you've tried it, have you?
Yeah, nah. So and I think that's the point of this show, right? Well, first of all, it's like giving black men a space, being therapeutic in our conversation.
And this feels like therapy right here.
Yeah, for sure.
Facts.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, facts.
And that's the bravery that I'm talking about. Yeah. Not only are you brave enough to talk about it amongst men, but you're talking about it amongst the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not easy, bro.
At all.
No, it ain't.
At all.
In real time? Especially what's going on in the world now,
yeah,
that's to be applauding.
Mm-hmm. Nah, for sure. And I think just to double back on that, like, you know, we had Da Vinci on the show last episode, mm-hmm. and he's a big advocate for mental health. And he spoke about a lot of times as black men, we think our mental health is fine just because nothing is currently going wrong, right? We're like, oh, well, I'm not really going through nothing right now, so I'm good. But it's like, are you really taking the time to, like, self-meditate and think about, like, how you're getting through your days, things that make you tick? You talk about being angry, how that comes out of an aspect of fear. Like, are you taking that time to self-learn about yourself? A lot of us, we don't. We think, like, all right, well, ain't nothing bad going today, everything good, my lady good, everything cool. It's like, but have you really taken time to dive deep into that? To share an example, I lost my father right in front of me at 18, first week of college. For me, at that time, my mom was trying to get me to go to therapy, and I'm like, I don't need that. Like, as men, we think, like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm gonna just push through. I'm good. I don't really need that. But I noticed years down the line how I was still dealing with traumas when I had my son. How I was still dealing with, like, fear, abandonment, simple things I was dealing with where I was acting out as a parent and as a boyfriend at the time with my son's mom. Things I was kind of, like, dealing with that I hadn't unpacked because I still was just putting everything to the side. It's like, all right, my daddy died, but I'm good. My grandma died, but I'm good. I've been dealing with school, things not going right in my career, but I'm good. I'm going to continue to push through. But that's coming out of anger, right? That's coming out how I'm acting. That's coming out how I'm talking to people. That's coming out how I'm treating my loved ones, right? And it shows. Mm.
So even you being brave enough to sit here and talk about what you've been through to let these kids know, because I know for me as a black man from Mississippi, my mentor told me this. He's like, man, do you talk to your friends about the stuff that you talk to me about? I was like, no, sir. He said, well, you don't have friends. Mm-hmm. He said, go on, open up and talk to your friends. He said, just try it now. Yeah. And I called four of my friends, and it was like they had been waiting on me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In the streets, we was taught to show no weakness to nobody, bro. And so we carry all of this stuff on us, this backpack, and we don't have these places, especially since, like we said, therapy isn't something that's common.
Yeah.
So where do you actually really get to download that stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're taking the step now, man, and you're able to talk about it, and maybe the reason why you went through some of the stuff that you went through is so that you can be a conduit.
Yeah.
To allow other people to come through that. We always talk about sacrifices and different people in religion sacrifices. That may just be your sacrifice to the world.
Yep.
Be grateful for your strength now, in my opinion.
I received that, man. I appreciate that. And I think, too, with that excellence we were talking about is we spoke about, all you guys were talking about, the black family unit and, it, you know, disparities that kind of come up with that. But I'm curious, like, give you guys take on, you know, the family dynamic. I know you have had a non-traditional upbringing when it comes to the family unit. So I'll come to you first and just how the black family is kind of set up, you know, for excellence for kids.
Well, I think that the most important thing is to have boundaries that are specific and intentional within the framework of the home that you guys live in. It's that a lot of times within our community, we sometimes feel the pressure to acquiesce to the patterns and systems of what other people do in their homes. Mm-hmm. It's that, but you know, for example, there was a period of time within the black culture that whatever was said in those local churches and local communities, those things permeated and dictated how people maneuvered in their home. Like whatever the pastor said, that voice of that pastor was even louder than the daddy of the house. Yeah. And so that in itself is problematic, you know, because that father, by God's grace, is to be the head shepherd of that home. And so I think that the most important thing that a mother or father or a dual home is to always lead with honesty. Mm-hmm. That when your child is of age and in the areas of age, I think that is because I was in your space and I can tell you the things that I did wrong when I had a son when I was 18. And the reason why there was so much conflict between his mother and I is that I was too young to realize that the weekend birthday party, go to the park, go to Six Flags dad that I was not a full-time job. that the full-time job of raising that child was falling upon her. And the lack of sensitivity and grace that I should have been giving her is what I missed because I was so consumed with what I thought I was losing. Mm. But the full-time job of raising that child, unless y'all have something else set up, is that most of that is going to fall upon the mother of that child. And to give that individual grace, and I'm not talking about grace with money, I'm talking about I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. How can I return the favor? You let me move to Atlanta to fulfill my dreams. Anything I can do, anything I could pray for you for. There's a level of honor and respect that we can do better just as men of color when it comes to these positions that really, we're really setting ourselves up for success. Mm. That a woman is wired to reciprocate. She's wired to reciprocate. When you glorify her, when you praise her, when you lift her up,
right.
You don't have to ask a woman to reciprocate that.
Yeah.
You're putting her in a position that she is built by God's grace. Because remember, she's the first gift that we can ever have, right? Mm-hmm. You know, God gifted us with that. That we're to celebrate. So when you have a situation where there is a child not raised in a home that you're together, when you show the love and the gratitude and the appreciation and you want it to be reciprocal, you are setting not only yourself up in that dual relationship, but you're setting that child up to win because that child is watching this. Mm-hmm. That child is feeling this. And I unfortunately did not do that when I was a young man. I created an environment of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on me because I'm the man. Right. And so, and again, I didn't have a man to model, but still I have to own. When I come to the reality of my mistakes, I've got to own them.
For sure.
And that's a mistake that I made. Yeah. And so I would encourage any man is that you must be intentional to create an environment where the woman is celebrated and the children watch you do it. Mm-hmm. And lead with honesty. Something David said that is so profound that I think has sometimes done more harm in our community is that we have allowed our elders to sometimes make us think that their word was automatically the word because of their age. Mm. You can be an old fool.
That's right.
It's a fact.
Some of the stuff that our great-grandparents went through, we're still dealing with.
Yeah.
Some of that pain,
yeah. You
know, in our genetic code, bro.
Yeah.
So, again, being patient with ourselves, bro. And, again, with you, I'll say, man, you did the best with what you had.
Yes, sir.
And we do own it, but I have a tendency of punishing myself.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I believe we shouldn't punish ourselves. Mm-hmm. We own it, like you said, mm-hmm. and then moving forward, we'll do the best that we possibly can with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I come from a big family. My mom and my pops weren't together. I never seen them be romantic, but I definitely had like I seen my mom and my pops weren't together, but my grandfather and my grandmother been together 40 plus years. So I seen both sides. You know, I seen a little bit of drama, and then I seen just what long lasting marriage look like as well. You know, and I think for me, I owe it to myself to make sure that when I'm ready, or when I want something like that, that I'm honest about where I'm at. Like, and mm-hmm. and today I can be honest. When I go out on a date and I say, hey, you know what? I'm actually not ready for children right now. Putting those hard questions out there early. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings and. I could look like security. I could look like, you know, I could look like your husband. You know what I mean? And I just want to make sure that I'm being honest with myself to say, hey, you know what, Jay, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Why are you even on a date? You know what I mean? You don't even have vision for the next 5 years. You know what I mean? On relationship. You know you're supposed to be at home, learning, you reading, you know, in therapy, whatever. So I have to always constantly check myself because, you know, it's just like, you're young, I got access, and I want the family, I see it, but in this season right now, I have to constantly remind myself, hey, right now it's about you. It's yeah. about you, and it's about taking trips, solo trips. If you want to go on a trip, go. I know girl got to go with me, you know what I'm saying, at this point in my life. So I just make sure that I'm just constantly checking myself so that I am doing myself, my future family, a good service. So when I decide to do something like that, I'm in a healthy space to cultivate and grow that, you know?
How old are you?
28.
Good job. See, and I think that with all of the negative narratives that they have for that generation, I can honestly say that I hear a level of strength that we didn't have. And in my generation, if I was 25 or 20, 28, you're 28, and you're single and you have this level of success, the community, the culture, the church would have been pushing, you need to get married and fill this house with some kids. You know, like that in itself was a pressure that I'm sitting up here watching this young boy saying that I'm enjoying my home. I'm being honest about, hey, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready. Where that level of freedom, I have to say that it's very admirable, but it is very new. It's very new for me to hear this. Mm-hmm. Like you're giving me new information to process. Mm-hmm. It's because I have never been in a culture or in a generation where thinking about yourself first was even something, but you know, once again, it would have been called selfish. It would have been called self-centered.
Yeah.
Where these labels or the deconstruction of the labels is something that I'm very proud to see their generation have. I think it's good for their mental health. And I think it's very good for them to not have to pursue God and the things of God from a place of fear, but mm-hmm. from the place of love and freedom. Mm-hmm. And I think it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, 28 years old, we got somebody who's been married a year longer than you've been alive.
Yeah.
29th anniversary
yeah.
that you just recently celebrated yeah. being married, man.
Yeah.
How do you get to 29 years of marriage?
Well, first of all, I'm not his daddy. am I your daddy?
He said, Poppy, I'm like,
yeah, you know, it comes with mountains, you know. Don't believe the filters, you know what I mean? You know, it's the filters on the gram don't really give the real picture of what it is.
Yeah.
And so it has come with mountains, it has come with valleys, it has come with the rubs. And I celebrate Tammy. She's an amazing woman. She is the salt of the earth. Really, she's a beautiful, and if you ever met her parents are the same. Yeah. Just beautiful wow. people. Just, you know, and once again, I come from the mud, so, you know, she came from a whole nother world, and so we fought different, we argued different, you know, I'm wah, you know,
yeah.
And so, you know, it's that process, you know, and she's an incredible friend. But at the same time, I'm also wanting to let people know that no other individual should ever be your goals.
I love it.
That the goal that should always be your goal is what God has put in front of you. Because so many people make the mistake of marriage and relationships trying to feel that they are not complete if they don't have the pictures that they scroll and see. And it is so unfair to your process. It's so unfair to your other person. It's so unfair to you to mirror what you think of the people, because you don't know the hell we've gone. You don't know the hell I've taken her through. And so it is very important for you to paint the picture that God wants you to have with your person. Paint your own picture and stop trying to model the picture of others that you see. It is a waste of time, and you do not know the full story. And you cannot get the full story swiping.
For sure. You mentioned the filters. It's like, yeah, I think everybody in society with social media right now, they get blinded by the filters. And it's like, yo, you don't know what somebody's really going through. It could look good on the ground.
Or what they look like.
Mm-hmm. That part.
What they look like. So, you know, for example, I came in there, David, you know, first thought that I was 6'2". And when he came in, he saw me, he was very disappointed.
I love that, man. But also, too, I think I want to circle back. Obviously, man, with Tammy, your wife, a great woman. I think it's clear to say, you know, she makes you better. And I think that's what you should strive for in a relationship, is having a woman that just makes you better. Just give your flowers to your wife. 29 years.
Yeah, man. No. She is everything that I aspire to be, that, you know, I am not anything close to who she is. You know, she is a pillar of God's heart, God's light. She's an incredible woman. She would be an incredible woman without me. She'd be an incredible woman without me, you know. And I'm grateful for the investments and the deposits that she's made in my life, and who she has been not only to me, but to the kingdom. Just to the kingdom. I mean, when I look at my children are full of the things that are good, and I have to point to their mother. I have beautiful children. Even my first son, that she's always called a bonus son. I mean, everything that I saw her invest in him, she took my son as her own. And when I would be on tour, and when I would be gone, she's in there working with him through ADD and working through trying to help get him the help he needs and his homework, and just being there for him to nurture. And it's like I could trust my firstborn with him because I knew she had the heart of a mother.
Yeah.
That's who she is. That's who she is, man. Tammy, man, Tammy is such... She's such a wink from the Lord of how good he's been. Mm. He is. He took his time with her. I didn't see a family until I saw Tammy's family. You know, I didn't grow up Christmas and, you know, gifts and all that. You know, we didn't have that. I didn't, you know, once again, I didn't have mamas and daddies. And so to watch Tammy, Tammy comes from a big family. Tammy got seven siblings, seven of them, seven Negroes. You know, and so to see who they are and how they are has been something that's really blessed me. And to see him go through what he's been going through with his health, I just ask, you know, that we pray for him, that, you know, everybody just lift up a prayer for Tammy's dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's just an incredible, incredible woman that deserves every rose that the earth could ever provide.
Kirk, what I love about you, man, is, man, you're just so relatable, you and your wife. You know, you think, a lot of people think, you know, when you're heavy in a church, you gotta, you know, act as if you're just holier than thou. What I've always appreciated
don't
is,
don't
like,
you hate that?
Yo, you really just one of the guys, you know what I'm saying? You really just one of the angels, man. You come dripped out, your wife be dripped out. Y'all dance.
Where's my camera?
Hey, look, he got that shit on now. I ain't gonna cuss on the church, but
he said he ain't gonna cuss on the church.
You know what I mean? Respectfully, please, mama, don't be mad. You know what
he acted like the whole church has got trouble. That is hilarious.
You know what I mean? But I love that, say, man. I love that. You know what I'm saying? I think that's why you're embraced by the culture. Just speak to, like, because you're still a man, she's still a woman. Like, y'all can be a relatable couple. And I think sometimes people put these expectations just because you're a man of God that you have to act a certain way.
Well, you know, I would love for the brothers to jump in, even just how they deal with their relationships, because, you know, I don't, you know, once again, I got to echo David. You know, just because I may have been married for a long time, it does not mean that I got it figured out. Mm. It does not mean that I have all the lessons and all the answers. I don't. Mm-hmm. It's because life is constantly changing. And, you know, for example, you know, now Tam and I are going through the process of empty nesting. We got married with kids. You know, we didn't date traditionally. She lived out of town for most of our engagement, you know. And so now we are living now by ourselves. And it's a whole nother level of, I didn't know your breath really smelled like that. Or just whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I think that what I'm, you know, like, I'm a fan of just learning. Yeah. And what I'm learning is that if you don't evolve with the seasons put in front of you, you're gonna get left behind.
Right.
Or ran over.
And so to go from entertainer to now thespian, go from dope singer to actor back to dope singer, go from sacrificing to now having the dreams come through while still trying to be a good daddy, or, you know, being married this time and, you know, this longer, you know, is because before I got married, I made so many mistakes that a lot of times I thought that marriage was going to fix a lot of the mistakes I made as a man, because, you know, I heard one of my mentors said something strong. Hold on to this one. Mm-hmm. Hold on to this one. For most men, their first attempt at monogamy is marriage. Let it sink in. Let's don't let that move for a minute. Let that sink in. Mm. For most men, the first attempt at monogamy is marriage.
You're already setting yourself up for failure.
If you've been doing what you've been doing, and the first time you're gonna stop trying to not do that and try to put all of that energy now in one person, it's gonna be some problems. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be some problems. And we can put that on God.
I received that because I feel like I'm 33, man. I feel like for our generation, and Jacob, I know you can relate, we feel like maybe we can flip that switch. And it's like, nah, bro, it's not that simple. Like, you have to practice this over time.
Yeah.
So when you do get married, you can be successful. You think you're going to flip that switch just because you jump across that
Say that a little bit more. Say it a little bit. No. That's real spit, son. That's real. Like, you cannot say that loud enough.
Nah, that's real. I think we all feel like, all right, I got to flip the switch when I'm married. And it's like, nah, bro, you got to practice that. And I feel like that's why you see so many young marriages fail out. So I get y'all kind of chiming on that. And David, I'm gonna come to you too, bro. I know you said, you know, you gonna wait till you know age 50 to get married. So you know what I mean? Where we at with that?
I don't want to put an age limit on like when I'll do that. But I'm just trying to be as present as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be next year. Maybe
no.
It may be. No. I don't know when it'll be.
No.
You know what I mean? No. But I'm just saying.
No. You're 28.
28.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, so I'm taking my time, man. And I'm just like, I enjoy coming home alone. And it's just like, I'm like, you hear that?
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah.
So I'll just say, live the life that makes you happy. My mentor told me something that I never thought about. He said, you have the opportunity to make a situation exactly the way that you want to make it. But you have to make that choice. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to live with that choice. And I'm grateful that I was a dreamer in a place that they stump your dreams out every day. Mm. And I accomplished my dreams, but through accomplishing my dreams, I had to sacrifice some of the other joys that people have. Yeah. I told my friend who is now just starting to chase his dreams in life, and I looked at him and I was like, bro, I'll tell you this. You want what I have, but I would love to have what you have. Everybody that knows me knows I always wanted to have children, but I want to be a present father. So I'm not going to do that irresponsibly, you know. So anybody who criticized that, there's something wrong with them.
I have to agree with you.
You know what I'm saying?
That I commend just that process of thinking. And again, I envy it because I wish that men in my generation could have been privy to that type of thinking that y'all have. We could have benefited so much just by the way that you three are communicating. Like, I'm so impressed. I think it's so powerful, and it's breaking so many curses and ideologies that were not always fundamental and foundational on truth. The last thing I'll say is that, like, my generation often would sometimes brag about how long their mom and daddies were married. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, everybody getting married, you know, but my mom and dad have been married, you know, for 30, 40, 50 years. But watch this. Yeah. But me and Dave know, coming from generation a little bit, you know, he's younger than me. Yeah, but your mom and daddy slept in different bedrooms. Mm-hmm. They were married, but they didn't even sleep in the same bed. Mm-hmm. How many times did you go to houses in the hood and the daddy would just be sitting there just watching TV all day, out? He not even there no more. Mm. He clocked out. Don't nobody want to be married like that. You're existing. Mm. But you're giving people the opportunity to say, yeah, but they still married. Mm. No, for a lot of them, they've been separated and gone a long time ago.
And let me add this. Let me add this. I say this all the time. We didn't have a choice on who our parents were or are, but we do have a choice on who our children's mother and father is. I see people make decisions and put their children in an eternity of unhappiness. Like, if I leave a child with anybody, I want to make sure that my child is with the type of person that who I know. I can lay my life on the line that if something ever happened to me. So I've always wanted to make sure that I was conscious enough. And most of the women that I ever dated, we always put the best face on because I was out of town or I wasn't in town much. So whenever we saw each other, we had to give each other the best us that we could. And I didn't notice that until I got older. I never really got a chance to see that person in a space where, okay, you mad and you not hiding yourself because you scared that I got to leave and go on tour or that I got to be in the studio. I never really had time to date long enough in a space where we could really smell that bad breath or see that bad hair day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To really see, because girls would always trip when I would tell them, like, I want to see you, the person that you wake up, you know, who you are when you wake up. Because if we end up being together for the rest of our life, that's the person I'm going to see most of the time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes we jump in these situations and don't realize that, you know, we could have thought it out a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you just said that. I've watched our parents be unhappy. And since I have the space to say that, it goes to what you were talking about these broke, when they call it a broken family. Sometimes being apart may be the best thing that ever happened to that child, because maybe together, then they would suffer.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to reestablish what right and wrong is. Because again, like we said before, we've been lied to about a lot, and we have to be men and women enough to sit down and have these hard conversations, like you said earlier, about the stuff that we've taught and whether it's right or wrong, and if we want to choose to continue pushing that on our children.
That's good.
You guys are redefining excellence. You know, the Shy is cooking up for another season, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, you also nominated, you know what I'm saying, for NAACP Image Award.
Crazy. Man. Let me tell you, I was so funny. Before the announcement, 5 or 6 days before the announcement, I'm talking to my agent, I'm talking to management, I'm just like, how do we do this? Like, you know, we 7 seasons in, or season 7 is getting ready to come out. We 6 seasons in, I'm like, what's the process? I'm like, is it politics? Do I gotta work rooms? Do I gotta shake hands, you know? And literally, my mom called me that morning. She was just crying. I was like, what? I thought somebody died. Like, what? And then she's like, you got nominated for NAACP. And I was like, just 5 days before.
Wow.
I'm like trying to figure out and analyze and plan. Mm. God already had it locked in.
Mm.
You know, so it's just another self-check to say, do not worry.
Yes.
Like, everything is in my plan. Everything you will get. You will get everything you're supposed to have when it's right, you know? And sometimes we think we're ready when we're not ready. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If 5 years ago, I wasn't ready, mm-hmm. you know? And I thought I was, but I've never been more ready than now. Mm-hmm. And it's just a blessing, man. I'm super, extremely grateful. I mean, like, Morris and Method and, like, I'm like, what? That's fire, you know? So it's just, it's an incredible feeling. And it just shows, like, it's possible. You just gotta focus on Him and focus on purpose, and all those things will come. Abundance will come.
Why do you feel like that show has been just received so well by the culture?
I think by the time the show is done, we'll just see that everybody had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, season 1 and 2 had a moment, and then we went through some troubles, and then 3, 4, and 5 took their own stories. And we just not showing just violence. We showing smiles. We showing a young man trying to be a father. Like, Emmett, season 1 till now is night and day. You know what I mean? So we see him committed to one woman. We see him trying to figure out how to make money legally and not sell drugs and not just be that stereotypical young man from the block. But he's also dealing with the cards he's dealt with. Like you said, it's a lot of talent that came from the streets and came from those dollars from drug dealers. And they say, hey, here your music career, man, do that. You know, and then they take off. So I think Emmett even found that with the character Duda. Like, hey, I need help on expanding, you know. And everybody has a part to play, and the cast is just so big. And we have all these actors just wanting to be on the show. It's not centered around just Emmett. You know, so many other characters that people can fall in love with. And Lena's just doing a great job of just creating this ensemble that everybody wants to be a part of. Like, it's just, now everybody want to be on the part of the show. So the season 7, we'll have some really cool guest stars and just people making their appearances. And it's just cool to be able to create a platform and create a show that everybody want to be a part of. And we looking to be one of the longest running shows of all time. And that's just, I've been on a show for 7 years, I went to Chicago like 2021. And just like, I turned 21 in Chicago. I've grown up on this show. I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned what to do, what not to do. You know what I mean? And I look at Emmett, it's another reminder to be like, yeah, wait, you ain't ready yet. You ain't ready yet. You know what I'm saying? And it's a blessing, man. And every year I feel like I'm growing, and I don't feel like I'm playing the same character every year either. You know, that's a beauty, you know, because this season 7 is like, I'm stretching, man. The writing definitely just had me in that isolation mode. Like, nah, bro, I really can't come out. You don't understand. Like, what's on page, what I have to gear myself up for on the day where they shoot this scene, I can't have no distractions. Like, because we only get a small window. You don't get to see playback when you're shooting TV.
Yeah.
You know, they like, hey, all right, next scene, we got to make the day. So, it's a blessing, man. I'm extremely excited. It's another self-check to just trust God. Like, it's all working out.
Nah, man, I love that for you, man. You're having a great year. And I want to circle back. And David, I'll get you to chime in, too. Because, Jago, you're really a triple threat. You know, a lot of people know you started on Disney, bro, singing, dancing, everything, man. Where do you want your legacy to kind of be remembered?
I feel like, I don't know, I can't really pigeonhole it. I feel like I want everybody to look at different eras of my life, like young teenager touring, doing shows, and just really just being unstoppable. Anything you put your mind to, you can do it. You know, acting was something I ran away from as a kid. I remember my first script, it was Lion King, and they were doing auditions for Simba for the stage play. And I was like, I'm doing my music. But something about moving to Atlanta, seeing other young guys, like, just do acting, do music, and they didn't overthink it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, just because I'm acting don't mean I got to stop doing music. Or it don't mean music is going anywhere. Just never keep my eggs in one basket. Now I'm a real estate investor. People don't know, I'm like 22 properties in right now. Like, I'm really going in. So it's just like, that's another layer of just my behind the scenes and personal life. Like, I'm actually going to visit one of my mentors this weekend just at an event that he's having full of other real estate investors. And I'm like, I'm going to get exposed. I'm going to get around. I'm going to get uncomfortable, you know? And I want people to be shocked that I'm in there. Like, oh, he in there learning. I'm like, yeah. You know, so for me, it's about pushing the envelope and being uncomfortable. I think that's what I want people to look back on my legacy and just say that you know, not afraid, or just doing it and still being afraid. You know, like, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's natural to feel fear a little bit, you know, and be scared because it's uncomfortable. You've never been here before, you know, and that's okay.
For sure, man.
Yeah. So proud.
Thank you.
Nah, man, you're on pace to being a living legend, man. The way you're going, your trajectory, man, you're doing great things. All you guys have exemplified excellence. All you guys have exemplified legendary moments. I think about my mama who lost her husband. Every Saturday and Sunday morning, life was going to be okay when Kirk Franklin came on. We knew things were going to be okay in the house. Like, you have changed and cultivated all of our lives growing up. Every time we heard your music, we saw you on TV, when I would see you at King's Dominion, that inspiration you get when I see people, man, when you come around the South, when you come up North, it's breathtaking to see. That is legendary. That is excellence. You give people hope. All of you guys are giving people hope. Jacob, when you're on the shot, when you're playing this character, there is 100,000 Emmets in the United States right now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's going through that.
Yes,
so when they see Emmett and they see his maturation process, where they see he's at, where he's at now, how he's being a family man, how he's providing to where he came from, it's a young boy who's 22, 25, seeing that, and you're inspiring him to be better. Yeah. That is excellence. That is legendary. David Banner, the work you're doing in the community right now, when it comes to injustice, everything you're doing with music, what you're transitioning with acting, and what you're trying to retrieve on the big screen with Hollywood, that is inspiring somebody. That is excellence. That is legendary. I can't thank you guys enough for being here. I think it's needed. Man. I think it's community. And again, like, I'm thankful. This was a full circle moment to meet you guys and to sit here with you, to have that dialogue. I know somebody's going to feel this testimony and just become better from listening to it. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys feel the same way today.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you, man.
No, absolutely.
Thank you for creating this space for us, bro.
Thank you.
For anybody watching, know that we're swinging with you every day. It's a constant battle in what we're dealing with, but for the fellas, we're going to continue to inspire and lead conversations that's going to impact change into the culture. Can't thank you guys for joining us today and for the fellas with some legends. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah.
To my young men and women out there coming up, follow those thoughts and visions you have in your head early on. I remember
being young and having visions of what's going on today in my life today. Those dreams and those visions are real. Act on them. Don't be afraid. And if you are afraid, do it anyway. There's bliss on the other side, and there's blessings on the other side of fear. And that's the biggest thing I've learned as a kid, and as I'm still learning as an adult. Do you.
My advice to someone who wants to be excellent, spend time with your craft. You know, so many people want to be the best or say they're their best, but they haven't spent the time. And that usually means that you have to sacrifice something else. So if that's the case, you have to make sure that you're happy and it's something that you really, really want to do. Sometimes people chase other people's dreams and accomplishing them and then don't understand why they're happy. Go after what you want, what God has put in your heart, what's on your spirit, and spend time with it.
What's up, young king? What's up, young queen? I want you to understand that everything in life has a price tag. What you have on has a price tag. And the value has to do with the amount of time and work put into whatever that price tag is connected to. And if you'd understand, do not get blinded by what seems quick, because everything that you think that is microwavable, it's going to be something that's always in the middle, still may be cold. The reason why mama's cooking was so good is because she didn't start cooking Sunday dinner on Sunday. She started cooking Saturday night. That meant that thing had a chance to marinate. You don't want a gift that's microwavable. You want something that when you cut into the middle of it, it still has the value that'll last your lifetime. Do not get caught up in the microwavable gifts up there. God has created you to have something that will last long. Get ready for that dinner. Let's eat.
I'm Jacob Lattimore.
I'm Kirk Franklin.
I'm David Banner. And this is for the fellas on BET.
Tune in.
One more?
A little more?
More.
Tune
even,
in.
Even
tune in.
Tune in.
You gonna need one more. One more.
I gave him that good white man elbow, right?
Cool. Give me one more variation of that.
Oh. Get comfortable. What's up, beautiful people?
Okay, that's my little voice thing. I'm sorry.
I saw you. I thought you were about to break out in prayer.
I was like, man. If you want to do that, we can do it. Let's get it. What's
get
up?
It.
You going to lead us off?
Yeah, let's get it.
Man, Father, thank you for this great opportunity to just try to be vessels, to just keep speaking. Thank you for all this talent in this room. People behind the camera, in front of the camera, we know these gifts are from you. And we give you thanks and praise because we know where we would be without you. Help us today to reach someone. Give us the words to say. We know we're not perfect, far from it. And so if it be your will, use us so that we can at least touch one soul in these crazy times. I pray this in your name, Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's how you start the show.
I feel more relaxed.
Hell yeah.